Good morning. Thank you for being here this morning. I appreciate Brother Mike reading Exodus chapter 3, verses 10 through 15. Moses had been a fugitive for some 40 years when God called him to deliver the Israelites from Egyptian bondage. But most of you know that God's call was not willfully accepted by Moses. He wasn't like Abraham. You remember Abraham? God come told him to leave his family, everything, to go to a land that he would show him. We have no record of Abraham questioning what God wanted him to do. And then think about Abraham and Isaac. God told Abraham to sacrifice Isaac. Abraham didn't argue with God. He didn't question. He simply went where God directed him to go and done everything up to the point of getting ready to slay Isaac. And God stopped him. But Moses, on the other hand, made at least four excuses why he could not do as God had commanded him. God told Moses, and we read that in Exodus 3, verses 10 through 15, Moses, I want you to go back to Egypt and bring out the Israelites. Bring out my chosen people. But he made excuses as to why he really couldn't do it. Even why he didn't want to do it. And I think it's interesting that many people today are still making the exact same excuses as to why they don't follow God, why they don't obey, why they don't study, why they don't attend service. So this morning, I'd kind of like us to take a look at some of these excuses that Moses gave, and let's see if maybe we've given some of the same excuses. Number one, Moses says, God, I understand you want me to do this. I truly do understand, okay? Yeah, you want me to go back to Egypt where I fled from and lead your people out. I understand that. But here's the problem, God. I'm not going to have all the answers. Notice Exodus chapter 3, verse 13. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I came unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what's your name? Or what is his name? I imagine there was probably still some people in Egypt that knew who Moses was, but it had been like 40 years, so maybe there was a few that didn't. The God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say unto me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? Lord, I don't have the answer. What do you want me to tell them? I know that they're going to ask me what your name is. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. Now, I don't know about you, but that's really not an answer. Stop and think about it. We understand that God is the great I am. But do you think Moses truly understood what God said here? He was confused. I mean, you want me to tell them that I am sent me? They're going to tar and feather me. You know, I think that's illegal now, but they used to do that. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me. Now, I don't know, maybe the Israelites that Moses spoke to truly understood who I am was. You know, they're going to ask me questions that I really don't know the answer to, God. Where did God come from? You know, we have the same problems today, don't we? People don't want to get involved, especially in Bible studies. I want to say even in Bible class. Questions are asked, but yet nobody speaks up. They're going to ask me questions that I don't know the answer for, and that's some of the problem that we have today. People don't want to get involved. They don't want to speak. They don't want to voice their opinion. They don't want anybody to understand that they may be ignorant of God's word. You know, I don't have all the answers, so I'm just going to keep my mouth shut so people won't know that. You know, what's the old saying? And I hope I remember and quote it correctly. I would rather keep my mouth shut and be seen as a fool than open my mouth and remove all doubt. That's how people act many times. You know, I don't have the answer to the question that was asked, so I'll just keep my mouth shut. Instead of saying, well, wait a minute, let me ask you a question. What do you mean by that question? Help me to understand. Break it down to where, you know, I can digest it and come to an understanding. But too many times, it's easier for us to simply keep our mouth shut. Because, you know, I don't know the answer. And that's why many times people don't get involved in having a Bible study with their friends, even their family. Because they're afraid that they're going to be asked a question that they can't answer. So they just don't do it. Maybe if we do have a Bible study and questions are asked, that helps us to learn. I've always advocated if you want to learn something, teach it. It's going to force you to learn. You can ask anyone who has ever been a teacher in a Bible class. They had to study. They had to learn, and they had to know. But yet there was always questions that are asked that you don't have an answer for. The response should be, I'll find out. I'm not quite sure how to answer that question, but I will find out, and I will get back to you. But just like Moses, he was trying to get out of what God wanted him to do because, hey, God, I don't have the answers. What if they ask me questions that I don't know about? Then we read in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always. Now that shouldn't surprise us, but you know what? It does. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. The word there, ready. Literally, and I hope you all know exactly what the word ready means. It literally means be prepared. Know beforehand. I believe, and I pray that I'm wrong, that many times we fail to have a Bible study or get involved in a Bible study. Maybe we don't even come to Bible class simply because we don't have the answers because we've not studied. Tell me I'm wrong. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason for the hope that is in you. Let me ask you a question. What hope do you have in you? What hope do you have? We should be able to give a reason for that hope. Our hope is salvation. Our hope is to be with God in heaven. So should we not be prepared to give an answer as to why? Number two, I may not be respected. Now, Exodus chapter 4 and verse 1. And Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. They're going to make fun of me. They're going to think I'm lying. I'm going to lose respect. Who was Moses before God appeared to him 40 years later? Was he not the son of the Pharaoh's daughter? In fact, he was in line to be the next Pharaoh. Do you think that that man demanded respect because of his stature, because of his status, because of who he was and who his friends were? Moses was going to go back, but he was not going to be the son of the Pharaoh's daughter anymore. These people knew, I imagine there was probably still some alive that knew him before, knew him as the Pharaoh's daughter. And now he's coming back and he's saying, you know, hey, your God has sent me, the I Am has sent me to bring you out of Egypt. Oh yeah, right, Moses. We really believe that. And Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me. He didn't say they may not believe me. I'm afraid that they're not going to believe me, so how can I prove to them? He just simply says, behold, they will not believe me. He'd already made up his mind that they were not going to believe him. You know, many times we have the same problem. We're afraid that people are not going to respect us, that they may even make fun of us. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. This is a verse that every Christian should have in their memory. Paul writes, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek or the Gentile." Are you ashamed of the gospel? It's a simple question, but I tell you what, when we are trying to share with others the gospel, and people make fun of us, do we give up on the power of the gospel? Who would you rather have ashamed of you or making fun of you? Someone that you're trying to teach the gospel to? Or God being ashamed of us because we don't want to be disrespected? 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do so as of the ability that God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praised and dominion forever and ever. Oracles. Speaking God's word, God's mouthpiece. What makes the difference if someone is disrespecting us? If we truly know the power of the gospel and that we are speaking as the oracles of God, should we simply stop? Moses didn't even want to go because he was afraid that he was going to be disrespected. Many times we have the same problem. We don't do and obey because we don't want to be disrespected, because people are going to make fun of us. You know that there are actually people in the United States, and I would probably venture to say that there's probably a few people here even in Tipton that think that we are nutcases, that we need professional help, because we believe in a God that's not ever been seen for how long? That we believe in a dead Savior? It sounds to me that many times we're so afraid of being disrespected that we simply give up. Number three. Exodus chapter 4, verse 10. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I'm not eloquent, neither therefore or heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and slow and of a slow tongue. Here's the third excuse. I don't have enough ability. That kind of goes back to number one, I don't have all the answers. I don't have enough ability. I'm not a very good speaker. Most of you probably know. If you don't, then this may surprise you. I basically flunked English class. I think my highest grade was a C minus. But history and math, I excelled at. I have a hard time with English. I really do. I can speak. And if I don't have a dictionary on how to spell words, I'm lost. But I don't allow that to stop me from teaching and preaching, writing. Many people simply do not get involved in Bible class, teaching Bible class, having Bible study with friends and family. It's a, you know, I have stage fright. I simply can't get up and talk in front of people. I don't know enough. Well, if you don't know enough by now, shame on you. Most of us have been Christians long enough to know a lot. I'm not a good speaker. This was Moses. I'm not a good speaker. I'm not very eloquent. I'm slow of tongue. I'm afraid to be in front of people. I don't know enough. Acts chapter 7, verse 22, and Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in word and deeds. Moses, I think you're not telling the truth. Moses pretty much said, in Exodus 4:10, I'm not eloquent, neither theretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. But we're told in Acts that Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and mighty in words and in deeds. Now, granted, I'm going to give Moses the benefit of the doubt, because this is why, while he was the son of the Pharaoh's daughter in line to be the next Pharaoh, he was wise in words and deeds, in wisdom of the Egyptians, but not so much in the Israelites. I'll give him that. Many times our problem is we don't know what to speak. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of word of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. Paul himself says, hey, I'm not coming to you with big words. I'm making it simple. I want you to understand. You know, too many times, that's some of the problems that we have. We try to make things overcomplicated. You know, when we do have a Bible study, or we stand up before someone to teach a class or whatever the situation may be, we want to look smart, don't we? We want respect. But the great apostle Paul says, hey, I'm not coming like that. I'm going to teach you so you can understand. And lastly, number 4. I'm not as qualified as the others. Exodus 4, verses 12 and 13. Now, therefore, go, and I will be thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt. Don't send me, send somebody else. I don't want to go. I don't want to do. Let someone else do it. Isn't that some of the excuses that we give today? Let somebody else do it. They're more qualified than I am. They know more Bible than I know. Matthew 20, verse 7, and whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. We're to be servants. Serve one another. Isn't that what we're supposed to be as brothers and sisters? Service to one, doing service one to another. But too many times we just want to let somebody else do it. We want to let somebody else take care of it. Now, I understand that many times because of our physical health or our physical bodies, we're not able to do what we used to do. I'm not talking about that. But we can do what we can do. We cannot stand up and say, let somebody else do it because they're more qualified than I am. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27 and 28. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Brothers and sisters, if we feel that we are unqualified, it's our own fault. Because we've not studied. I know, we study. Some things are hard to understand. But do we go to someone who might be able to help in understanding what you're trying to understand? If you come across a passage in the Bible and you're not quite sure exactly what it's supposed to be telling you, then go to someone who might know. You know, God doesn't want brainiacs preaching the gospel and teaching the gospel. He wants everyday simple people because, as Paul said, I'm not coming to you with excellency of words and things that are, they're going to make you say, oh man, look at him. Look at what he knows. Simple things. Things that people will understand. Things that people will want to learn. And the base things, okay? To confound the things which are mighty and the base things of this world and things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not to bring to not things that are base, insignificant. Insignificant things of the world, the things which are despised. God wants us to always be ready to give an answer. And we can only be ready by our own personal study. Hebrews chapter 13. Verses 5 and 6. Let your conversation be without covetousness. And be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. We forgot this, didn't we? We forget that the Lord is our helper, and we have our help notes right here. That we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do to me. That was Moses' problem. He was afraid. He was afraid because he believed that he would not have all the answers. He was afraid because he would not be respected. He was afraid because he says, I don't have enough ability. And he was afraid because he felt that someone else, more qualified, should be going to Egypt to free the Israelites. What about us? What about each and every one of us? Do we truly believe that the Lord is our helper and that we need not to be afraid? Often excuses are merely a cover up for a spirit of disobedience. We've been called to do service for God. We have all been given different talents. So are we using them, or are we making excuses? Brothers and sisters, let's not be like Moses. In the beginning, when he didn't want to go where God wanted him to go, let us boldly go forth. Let us not be afraid, because the Lord is our helper. This morning, if you're here, if you're in need of prayer, whatever the reason may be, would you come as we stand and sing the song of invitation?
Who at the door is? With hand demand.